AgBioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A clear return investment needs to be easy, so doesn't matter if you have a good quick win to that, but if they have to deal with 10 different platforms, won't be interesting for him. So it needs to be easy, needs to be clear ROI for sure, and you have to create a real relationship, a good relationship with them.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. A new survey of agribusiness professionals found that more than 70% spend more than 11 hours a week collecting, collating, and analyzing data. It's a challenge that one Brazilian startup is seeking to solve. Welcome Carlos Ribeiro, CEO of Sensix, to Ag Bioscience. Carlos, welcome to Ag Bioscience and welcome to Indiana.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I'm really honored to be here.
It is great to have you. We had a chance to meet earlier this year with Governor Eric Holcomb down in Brazil. And Carlos, elated you've made the move. Before we jump into the challenges that you're seeking to solve, I want to paint a picture for those who are watching, those who are listening. Give us a sense. What's the amount of data, this data challenge that exists on a farm today? How big is it?
Actually, we try to segment it a little bit of this. When you talk about data and what kind of decisions a farm has to take in their management and crop decisions, basically, we segment this in three main pillars. The first one would be how you mitigate risks. So when you talk about mitigate risks, it's more about the weather, what's the window that I can actually plant my seeds. You have all the market stuff with commodities, price, and everything. And inside the farm, you have also the second pillar would be increased yields. So when you talk about increased yields, we have a lot of different indicators. We have been working with at least 60 different layers in our platform right now. So when you talk about fertility, topography, the variety that you actually planting there, the genetics, the hybrids, and everything about this, it's some sort of data that you have to help you to decide better about how to increase yields. And the third pillar would be optimize costs. So when you talk about optimized costs, and I don't like to say reduce costs because it's not about reducing things, but actually how we can get the most of actually we are putting using of inputs in the farms. So we see that actually you have a baseline of data. That's the basic data. So soil management would be one of the things that I was really surprised at how much soil management data is used by U.S. farmers. Here, we can talk a little bit more about this later, but that's something very important for sure. And we have weather, like data from weather station, the weather data that you can take from some of you government initiatives as well. We have also pest data, pest management, disease management. So there's a lot of data that you can collect to drive this particular decisions, this kind of management. And of course, the operations with machinery. So we have a lot of good companies that are doing a really good job on collecting this data. But the real challenge is how you put all this together, combine those layers, and then we drive good decisions to these farmers. That's where we are very focused on, to consolidate all these layers to make it easier, have this better farm management for our clients.
You look through the tremendous troves of data that exist. I mean, it's to your point, you walk through three pillars and each of those pillars have, in some cases, terabytes or petabytes maybe of data that sit behind them when you look at a historical view. How are farmers in Brazil, an area that you come from, an area that you've spent a lot of time working with producers there, how are they managing this data labyrinth and sea of data?
Well, actually, in Brazil, we have something very unique. There's a lot of huge farmers in there that are able actually to hire people just to work and think about data management. So one of them, who I really like to always say a little thing about them, like SLC Agricola, they are actually clients and also investors of ours in Sensex. They are probably the largest soybeans producers in the world. They grow like 1.8 million acres, just one farmer. That's crazy to think about it. And it's more than 17 people just with digital agriculture in there. So they have a lot of people think about that, building process to make this really efficient when you have to take some kind of decision. So when we saw that, of course, they use some kind of platforms for all these things that I said, and they have a really good process. So when you talk about agriculture, or actually we like to say more decision agriculture, because it's not just about digitalize what you have, but actually how you take this data and it becomes real decisions. These farmers, what do you think is, when you have to perform this data management process, you're going to have to do and have technology that will make process, the second thing, more efficient, and this process is going to make people more efficient. So when you have people, process, and technology working well together, that's going to be when you're going to hit the decision agriculture, not just digital agriculture. That's what you see.
I love the idea of decision agriculture, not digital agriculture. Digital is just a means to the decision. You've spent some time on farms here over the last couple of weeks here in Indiana. Got a chance to take a peek behind the curtain at a couple different things. Are you seeing the same challenges or similar challenges here in the States that you saw or that you see in Brazil?
Yeah, I was very surprised that actually I think that would be more differences between Brazil and US farmers. But actually, we see that most of them actually are doing similar things. Maybe, for example, when you talk about soil management, we see a lot of these jobs here in US, a lot more. It's like more than 80% maybe of the farmers here use variable rate prescriptions. We still have a lot to do in Brazil because we have like 15% only of farmers that are actually doing variable rate prescriptions there. So we see some difference between them, but essentially most of the companies, most of the stakeholders on this market are struggling to really find a new business model that could drive adoption, real adoption for the medium size and small size farmers. We have this challenge in Brazil as well. We've been thinking about and studying the US market for a couple of years so far. And we are in the central region of Brazil where we have these big farmers. But this year, we started to also work with smallest farmers in South Brazil. And they usually don't grow 2 seasons a year. They usually have like 1,000 acres. They usually have just a farmer with a real challenging workforce in there to work in the farmer. So it's very like what we saw here. And we are trying to solve these challenges in South Brazil, and I see that might be interesting to come with this new business model to US too. So we see this difference, most about size, but when you talk about decision agriculture and process and data, it's not about size, it's more about the mindset. We have an education process that we launched at Sensex Academy, and there we have a course that actually, it calls Introduction to Decision Agriculture. And we don't talk about size in there. It's not about size. It's about mindset. If you have a managed mindset and you have a technology mindset, you can do whatever you want. Even if you are just a small farmer with 200 acres, is it possible to do that? The challenge here is how these ag techs, these services companies, is going to be able to deliver real value to this small. Because the unit economic needs to match, you know. But you are having some creative ideas that actually is working in South Brazil and maybe could work in here as well.
It's a fun story. I want to dig into how Sensex is evolving and maybe a little bit more of the Sensex solution. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
From berries to dairies, from crop advisors to data analyzers, Indiana Farm Bureau is at the forefront of the top issues impacting Indiana agriculture.
No matter your role in the ag industry, Indiana Farm Bureau membership means you'll always have a champion and an advisor. And because so much of your time is focused on your own enterprise, it's also good to know Indiana Farm Bureau is always working to fight for the future of agriculture. We come together to advocate for rural viability, the protection of property rights, competitive tax policies, and against burdensome regulations. Whether our members need a door opened, an impact in public policy, or an ally to strengthen their communities, Indiana Farm Bureau is there. We are the unified voice for all agriculture. To learn more about the benefits of Indiana Farm Bureau membership, go to infb.org.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience, talking with Carlos Ribeiro, CEO of Sensix, on a trip to Indiana from Brazil. Carlos, you have done some amazing work with Sensix in Brazil. The entire Indiana delegation was blown away by your work when we saw it earlier this year down in Sao Paulo. Give us a view. What is Sensix? We've talked a lot about this data problem. How are you uniquely solving this data problem in production agriculture?
Well, we have a very clear and straightforward mission. That's basically transform farms into data-driven environment, basically. So when we started the business 9 years ago, we are actually tech guys, me and my partner. We are mechatronic engineers. So we built drones. So we'd like to fly a lot of fields with these drones and then take data and help farmers using this to better apply inputs in there. But we saw that actually we need much more data to really transform how farms are managed. So when you solve, okay, you have a lot of quick wins that we can solve. So you have some problems, some challenges that the farmer faces every day, and they have to solve this. So we have these quick wins. But when you have so many apps or so many of these quick wins, it's going to be really challenging to that to have like 10 different softwares to manage all these things. So the first thing that we saw, okay, we have to consolidate this. So if the farmers only needs to deal with one or two different platforms, and we could not just be a quick win, but actually a framework. So we could connect not just our technology, but actually technology of partners as well. So when you talk about integration process, bring all these data together, we could do a really good job to the farmers using just one interface. So one of the things that we do right now is consolidate all these layers in just one platform. Like I said, we have more than 60 different types of layers in our platform. We still have some to bring on the platform. That could be maybe more than 100 in 1 year. We are really going fast on there. But once you have all these, how you can combine this and tell the farm, actually, this is your yield gap. So that's what's taking yield from you. So you have just to solve that. And we have a recommendation and prescription so you can do that. So really straightforward. So that's going to be easier in the future once you have this. And the other thing is, once you have all this technology, all this fancy platform, how you can really drive adoption and having this maturity of process being well planned and well executed inside their farm. So we sell not just software right now. Actually, we are trying to combine software and services as well. Most of services providers that we see is too much agronomist. That's okay. That's really, they need this. But we think that a different kind of advisor is needed when you talk about processes. So the decision agriculture advisor that we are having to help these farmers in their data management process is basically to, okay, I you put all this data together, we combine this, and I will give you the final indicators so you can make the better decision with these indicators. That could be an agronomy decision, an operational decision, a selling products decision, a buying things decision. So it's what we're trying to do here. We are, I think probably we are creating a new type of professional that could be a agronomist, but well-balanced with knowledge in technology as well.
Carlos, as you look at the current operating environment, whether it's in the U.S. or whether it's in Brazil, commodity prices are really tough. Margins are really tight. When you talked about unit economics earlier, you begin to pull all this data together, there's a cost for that that producers are paying Sensix to do. How do you think about driving market adoption in a tight economy? And how has that played out for your customers?
The first thing would be clear return of investment. So farmers, we see usually that most of inputs that farmers apply in there could be apply a lot better. We see here in US, maybe it's going to be, you have more efficiency here because you have variable rate prescriptions in almost everything, like fertilizers, limestone, seeds, even herbicides. We don't see that a lot of in Brazil, maybe variable rate prescriptions for fertilizers, but it's even just 15%, like I said. So we have a huge way to go to make these farmers more profitable. So when we have client that the first year for services, then what you do is to put enough money on farmer's pocket in such a way that's gonna all your service is gonna be paid for at least 5 years. So it's at least 5 times return of investment. It needs to be really clear to them. So when you call to mitigate risks, increase yields, and optimize input costs, or not just input, actually machinery, people, and everything, an advisor that actually doing this process with the farmers, he can clearly understand what's actually were improved with this, and then make it as a in a money way. So that's what you do. A clear return investment needs to be easy. So doesn't matter if you have a good quick win to that, but if they have to deal with 10 different platforms, won't be interesting for him. So it needs to be easy, it needs to be clear ROI for sure. And you have to create a real relationship, a good relationship with them. And they value a lot of this. So we know that VCs and a lot of people there tell, okay, you're a soft company, so you're going to services, really? It's not scalable, no? We are trying to do something different. Actually, we think there are a lot of labor available in the market, like digital agronomists that would like to really make money with this. And we create a new business model where we share 50-50 of revenues with these services, with this guy, this advisor in the end. So we are going to make the farmer make more money. We are going to make this advisor make more money as well. And of course, we can benefit and make more money as well. It's a win-win game, you know?
It's a channel strategy that is proven in others, but to your point, has not been fully adopted in ag and ag tech. You have had a chance to go out and spend some time on farms here in Indiana and have, I'm certain, ran these ideas by producers and spent some time at a combine here. What's been the take? What's your reaction to farming here in Indiana versus farming in Brazil? What's the general takeaway?
Well, actually, we went to meet some really, really progressive farmers. So I don't know if it's the standard here, but we are amazed about what they are doing. We met a farmer in Northeast Indiana that actually had more than 20 years of yield maps, full yield maps. That's crazy, because 20 years ago in Brazil, we didn't know even what was a yield map. So they have so much data and they are so precise about actually what needs to be done in the farms. That probably is the thing that we are most amazed of. So the grid, for example, soil management, 1 point, 1 sample, usually for each 2.5 acres. That's crazy. That's not possible in Brazil. In Brazil, you do like 10 acres per sample. So probably we have more advanced and more precise mindset here. That's good because you're going to be able to drive adoption of this new technology maybe faster when we have already this mindset. But we're going to be some challenges in the future when starting, for example, about the labor here. We know that people are most well paid here in US than we have in Brazil. So to the mathematics, it's going to be easier in certain points in Brazil, and it's going to be harder here in certain points in US. But for sure, I think the accuracy, the mindset, the infrastructure that they have here, like connectivity, it's amazing. It's so many applications that we can do with this level of connectivity that you have here in US. So Yeah, it's going to be a different challenge for us. We'd really like to come to US to learn from these farmers here, not just the farmers, but actually the ag retailers, the cooperatives, and a lot of stakeholders that are trying to bring new improvements to this farm. So it would be a really nice touch that to come here for sure.
Well, we would love to see you here, Carlos. I know that you heard it from the Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb when he was down in Sao Paulo. You'll hear it from me again and again and again. We'd love to have you here in Indiana. I love the work you're doing. Time for one more question before we wrap up. What's next? What's next for Sensix, and when does the Indiana operation open?
All right. Well, we have a lot of steps ahead. First of all, we have to think a lot about what you saw on these 2 weeks here. We have talked with cooperatives, regulators, farmers, VCs as well. So it's we have a good picture, actually, what's going on here. So we could make a really soft landing to come here. Probably the first thing to do is to really put boots on the ground. So some of farmers that we talked to here, we're going to have some proof of concept with them and then taking feedbacks from them. And okay, it's good. One basic thing, we have to translate our platform to English.
Oh, sure. Right.
And of course, convert the units. Yes. I think about hectares all the time. I think I have to think about acres and bushels right now.
Right.
But it's something that we have to think more about. It's not something so hard. Maybe we can do this in just some weeks or months. But for the next season, we'd like to have our first footprint here. And we are connected with some VCs and probably going to raise capital in US to expand our operations here. It's going to be a first capital just to understand better the market and make this first ventures with these farming here. And then we can go to the next step and maybe headquarter Sensix in Indiana as well in US.
I love it. That's bold.
Yeah.
It's bold.
Really excited about that.
Carlos, thanks for investing the time. Thanks for what you're doing. And thanks for taking the call from a random guy in Indiana to come visit us. He's Carlos Hibero, CEO of Sensix. Carlos, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks to you, Mitch.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, you can always get the latest news online at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Fraser, saying thanks for listening and watching. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Fraser, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.